Hello, Jason Bowers.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett.
And hello, Kirk Fitzpatrick and his very loud cat.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett and Jason Bowers. Yeah, we had to restart the podcast because that cat started screaming at the top of her lungs.
I mean, that's okay. If your cat has opinions on the movie, that's fine. We'll take
She's not a huge Robbie Benson fan.
Well, it's a Lifetime of Hallmark, and yes, we are talking about a movie starring Robbie Benson. I have opinions.
Ooh.
Yeah, I do too.
I'm sure we all have opinions. But before we start talking about our fabulous Hallmark movie, I have Lori Loughlin news.
Now, for the Loughlin Report, here's Les Kirkendall Barrett.
Okay, actually, it's not Lori Loughlin news, but it's Lori Loughlin adjacent.
Oh, wait, hook that for the Loughlin news.
That is news.
Well, so what the news is Felicity Huffman, who was actually part of this whole college scandal thing, she actually went to court this week.
Yeah.
And she pleaded guilty.
As she should.
And from what I read, she was very remorseful. She cried. She actually showed up like 2 hours early before her court time, but she showed up, and she was very remorseful, and her sentencing date is in September.
I saw that. I was watching some of the coverage, and I forget who it was that went with her to the hearing. It might have been her brother or something, and I couldn't help but wonder, where was her husband? Where's William H. Macy? He was nowhere to be seen.
I was wondering the same thing.
Now, where do you guys watch this? Is this on C-SPAN or?
Would that not
TMZ?
TV? Yeah, I do like the idea of C-SPAN 2 just showing nothing but the questioning at this hearing.
Yeah. Now, when she says she's up 2 hours early, is that like how she shows up to a set? Like she goes to like hair and makeup, and she goes to craft services. She gets an omelet. Before the court starts. The omelet guy is there.
The Los Angeles Superior Court is providing craft services now.
Right. She's actually doing all the right things, as opposed to our buddy, Lori, who is, I guess she's pleading not guilty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no turning back.
So I'm wondering since Felicity Huffman is pleading guilty and being remorseful and literally throwing herself on the mercy of the court, I'm wondering, is this going to make it even harder for Lori? Since they're pleading not guilty.
It could make it easier. Right. If the thinking is, well, this, she's going to jail, if you think that she should, then you're probably going to be upset if Lori got off on the not guilty plea.
Oh, so you guys, I have even more news.
Oh, what, should I get the thing ready again?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. And now, it's time for, I'm thinking this might be the Black China.
Oh, yes, the Black China news report. This is
yes, it is. Yes.
Now, I don't know what Black China has to do with Hallmark or Lifetime, but I don't know if there is a proper news outlet that's giving enough airtime to the Black China news.
Oh, there is, and it's called TMZ.
Right, but Black China is now officially part of a Lifetime of Hallmark news.
She is. It's true.
Yeah.
So get
this. I don't know why. I'm not sure. Yeah,
because
okay, go ahead.
We had on Black China. We had a whole lesson on Black China. Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I think it's now part of canon.
Right.
All right.
Right.
The canon of our show.
And you know how I can tie this in? Blac Chyna was acting like she was in a Lifetime movie.
How so?
I read in TMZ that Blac Chyna had an altercation with her hairdresser.
Oh, no.
And
what was the dust-up over?
Please tell me more.
Yes, tell us more.
And allegedly, there was a knife pulled out, and allegedly, the other person curled up a soda can, and they were going to go at it.
What soda do we know?
I'm looking here. It just says a soda can.
Oh, it doesn't say which one. Wasn't that a video?
Yeah, this was caught on surveillance. I'm actually looking here on TMZ at the video. And they're actually showing it in slow-mo. And so, yes, it says a TMZ obtained surveillance footage. And this was in the valley. Is that Blac Chyna's house in the valley? And the reason they were fighting was because someone owed someone money. I don't know who owed who, but things got heated. And Blac Chyna is the one that allegedly pulled out a knife, and so her hairdresser then allegedly curled up some soda cans. Now, I didn't know that a soda can could be a weapon.
I mean, it becomes sharp metal when you crumble it.
Do some serious damage with a soda can.
Well, you know, I mean, I get. Well, yeah, Jason's right. It is sharp.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that you could shank somebody with it, but you could cut them.
Mm. Yeah, you could. Well, I tell you what, if you shake it up, you know, and if the soda's still in it, you could open it up and it could explode
if
face.
It's full, absolutely, yeah.
Well, okay, so I think the soda can was empty, though, because in this article, it says that the hairdresser ended up throwing the soda can at Blac Chyna's Rolls Royce.
Oh.
Hmm.
And then, that's it. It didn't go to blows. Thank God.
Oh. It went to throws, Emma Wright.
Right.
They threw the can.
And I guess I will be reporting more on this incident as information comes in.
Yes, I'm sure this is another.
Thank you, Liz.
Yeah, this is something else that I'm sure will show up on C-SPAN at some point. So Blac Chyna has a Rolls Royce. That's the real news.
Right. Well, she's...
Oh,
she's...
I heard the word news. I got triggered. Sorry.
No, understood. This just in, Blac Chyna has a Rolls Royce.
Blac Chyna has a Rolls Royce.
I mean, about it is a success story considering he started out on the pole and she now has a Rolls Royce.
Yeah, I am thinking about it. Mm-hmm. If Blac Chyna walked in my house right now, I wouldn't know who she was.
Well,
you sent the story to us today, Les, and I looked at her and I was like, oh, that's what she looks like. Because I didn't think I'd seen a photo.
I don't know.
Now, I tell you guys this.
Ooh, yes.
Watching that video surveillance of Blac Chyna was way more interesting than the movie we watched this week.
Oh, that.
And I'll preface it
words.
With this. I got so angry with this movie that I got angry at myself for assigning this movie to us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yes. Mm.
Slow clap for those listening at home.
Yes.
You got angry at yourself for, yeah. And this is the newest Hallmark movie. I had to watch this
real time.
Saturday not with the rest of the world as this movie was unfolded.
Ugh.
Yeah, I
apologize.
I was legit angry during this movie too.
But you know, yeah, I was mad at myself. I was like, how the hell did I pick this movie? But I promise, I am making up for it next week. I am making up for it.
Okay.
All right. Well,
I really am. So I guess let's
wrestle
get started.
Wrestle this beast to the ground.
Hallmarks a feeling of home.
A feeling.
Robbie Benson actually was the beast. Okay.
Oh, yeah, Robbie Benson.
Mm. Yes. Yeah. All right. Now, and even okay, I'll get in because I have thoughts on Robbie Benson too.
Yeah.
But even that couldn't salvage this movie for me.
Okay.
So. Robbie Benson. We're in a kitchen. And Abby is filming.
Okay.
And she's talking about New England clam bake. And it's as thrilling as the tone of my voice is making it sound.
You're
right.
Actually using way more expression than she did in the opening scene of this movie.
Yeah.
Now, my first line was, she is no Martha Stewart.
No, but it's webs.
But I noticed that the producer was the villain from that movie, The Garden. What was it? The Garden, the one with Rob Estes that we just watched.
Yeah.
Oh. What?
Yeah, the producer, the guy, was the villain, the mean husband from that.
The mean. Husband from the garden, the one where they end up with a garden on a roof.
No, the one where they time traveled,
but not really.
One. Oh, jeez. Right.
And that was only like 2 weeks ago, Kurt.
Yeah, but I was just there's another garden one. There's remember there's the city garden and there's a garden. I was right. Like, there was a villain in that movie.
No, the one with the garden and she'd go back in time and she had the mean husband.
Yeah, that was bad.
So he. He is so far, this is two for two. This is the second movie that he's been in.
This poor guy.
Do you think it's him? He's not just like a movie killer, he's a Hallmark movie killer.
He is like Hallmark movie poison, this guy.
Yeah.
So we find out that this is Abby and they're shooting a web series. Yes. And this guy, for whatever reason, that makes absolutely no sense, is obsessed with her being from New England.
Yeah. This
it made absolutely no sense.
Everything about the premise of this movie was easily solvable and unbelievably stupid.
Unbelievably stupid. Her line reading was awful. Her outfit was awful. It was just awful.
Well, you guys really didn't like this one.
So her manager, who was kind of cute, like she's a sassy girl. She's kind of sassy.
We've seen her in something, and I don't remember which movie it was.
Yeah. Don't you love how now the actors are all starting to kind of mesh?
Yeah, good for them. They're working. That's awesome.
So we find that this is her manager. And this guy basically is the owner of the biggest home goods store in New England.
Harrington.
Yeah. And so her manager basically, like, he's going on about New England, and her manager says, oh, well, you know what? She has deep New England roots. She is New England through and through. She's from Connecticut.
Right.
And the producer, Mr. Carrington wants to create a line and have Abby be the face of this line of accessories and cookware and all this stuff.
He was rattling off all of the things that he wanted her name attached to, and it was all these different home goods. But his line reading was really odd in doing the laundry list of things, because he said, like, he said something like, towels and, you know, lighting fixtures and saucepan sheets. It sounded like he wasn't listing saucepan and sheets as two different things. He was naming some band that's playing at Lollapalooza.
Right. So then we cut to Abby. She's at home. She's talking to her mom. And we find out Abby's mom is from New England. We find out that Abby's from Texas.
Right.
Now, I know about you guys, but I don't know what the big deal is, because it sounds like, well, first of all, her parents are divorced, but they don't say the word divorce.
Yeah.
Ever.
And they heavily imply that it was an amicable split.
It sounded like her parents had joint custody, so it sounded like she lived in both places anyways. I don't know what the big deal is.
Right, and isn't she an adult?
But she's not that old.
Oh. Okay.
I think she was probably, like, it sounded from the way they were talking, and even when she was talking to her boyfriend down the line, it sounds like they were probably, like, 28.
Yeah, okay.
So they weren't, like, that old. Put it this way, it sounds like she'd been in New England enough that she could literally spin a yarn and make it sound like she was from there, and it would be fine.
But right. Why would one need to actually do that?
Now, what's the appeal of New England?
Like, I get that he wanted it to be genuine and heartfelt, but, like, you still don't need to be there to do that.
Right.
I mean, right. Case in point. Remember Larry Hagman with J.R. Ewing? Mm-hmm. And he would wear, like, cowboy hats and all this stuff and do commercials as a Texan sometimes. And he was, he totally presented himself like he was from Dallas. But wasn't he from, like, L.A. or New York or something
Probably, yeah.
You know, you can do it and get away with it, and it's no big deal, and people would be none the wiser.
Well, to what she was going to do.
Yeah.
It would seem to go very, very much against the Hallmark ethos.
Yes.
First of all, I knew there was going to be a problem when nobody's parents were dead.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So then we find out that her dad has been in an accident. And
yeah, like fell off a horse.
So
right?
She needs to go home and take care of her dad.
Fell off a horse and he broke his arm. Yeah.
Yes. So, she goes to Texas, and I wrote in my notes, this does not look like Texas.
Looked a lot like Vancouver.
Oh.
Yes, it did. Because my mom is from Texas, half of my family is from Texas, my family has a home in Texas, so I have to go to Texas a lot. That was not Texas.
Yeah, I've been to Texas as well.
Oh, I have as well. I did a children's theater tour throughout the state of Texas.
Oh, fun.
Oh.
Yeah.
How many cities did you go to?
Where did I go to? I was in, like, the south part of Texas. So I went to Laredo and Corpus Christi and all those places.
Yeehaw. So then she goes to the ranch, and her dad shows up, and her dad is Robbie Benson, who I must say is still looking great.
He's looking great. The acting.
He's 63.
Yeah.
Acting. Acting in what way?
And not like he should be in
this
movie.
He's a little rusty.
A little bit. There's that. The southern accent. Let's start with that.
Yeah. As soon as I heard that,
all of the southern accents in this movie were offensively bad. Not just cartoonishly bad, offensively bad.
Yeah, according to the IMDb, he hasn't acted in about 8 years.
Yeah, the I can tell.
His audition 8 years rusty. Ago, he tried out that southern accent. They're like, never do that. And he sat in exile until Homrock hired him.
And has a voice like this already. He's like, anyway, welcome to Texas.
What? There wasn't any, was any
Texas, Kentucky Robbie down Benson. Here,
y'all.
So we basically find out that, like, she asks her dad, did you watch my web series? And the dad is like, well, I saw one. So her dad is really not feeling her career choices.
Yeah. Oh, you know how they explained away the demise of the parents' relationship? Robbie Benson said of the mom, they don't build towns big enough for her and small enough for me. In other words, the woman had her dreams set on bigger things and she left me, so you shouldn't do that. Which is a big hallmark. That's a big hallmark theme, though, is that women leaving bad must stay.
Well, and she was on her way for London. She was on her way to London, so as far as I'm concerned, she's winning.
Yeah.
So her dad is also very sexist.
Oh yeah,
he's sexist.
Oh totally.
Did you think he said sexy?
Because she offers.
Yeah.
I mean, Robbie Benson, hot dad, he can get it.
Yeah.
Oh totally. Oh hell yeah. Mm-hmm. So we find out her dad hired a ranch hand, and we all know where this is going.
Yeah.
Where?
It turns out to be her ex-boyfriend. Who, right. I wrote,
oh, no.
His accent is trying to sound like Clint Eastwood.
Right. Oh, yeah, Ryan. This guy, too. He kind of voiced like, oh, what are you talking about? He had like a deep, deep drawl.
Now, I guess accents are his thing because this guy was Nathan from General Hospital. But in General Hospital, he had a really bad British accent.
Ooh.
We need to find video of this and also video of him shirtless.
Oh, he was shirtless a lot. And he was Luke's illegitimate son.
Oh.
He was Luke's illegitimate son from Holly.
Luke and Laura. Mm-hmm. Before Laura.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no,
yes.
Luke.
Holly Scorpio.
Yes.
Her outfit, like, she's talking to him, and her outfit gets stuck on a rose bush. And he's making fun of her clothes. You know, you look like you're going to a garden party. He busts her for getting her sweater stuck on the rose. But she's like, no, it's not. And then she gets a call from her manager, and her manager is saying that Mr. Carrington wants a full bio on her. And Gina said that she lied and said that she's from Greenwich, Connecticut.
Right.
This movie, it's like the premise of an episode of The Facts of Life or something. It's such an 80s lame cliche trying to be a farce.
Exactly.
Who is the Mrs. Garrett character?
Oh, in this movie? Who would be
Robbie Benson?
He wishes. No, I think it's that chick that works in the store downtown.
Oh, okay.
She's the one that keeps it together for everyone.
Yeah. We'll get to her.
Okay, so she was supposed to be very fashionable, but her outfit sucked. She comes out with this peasant shirt. And her dad's talking about her, and her dad says, is more involved. We see that Abby is more into arts and crafts than ranching.
That was a way better line reading.
Thank you.
Yes. Take care of more
interesting. So Gina lied and said that Abby was from Greenwich, Connecticut. And I wrote, good for you for lying.
Liar.
Yes. It's show business. You gotta lie sometimes.
I guess.
I think that's exactly the message Hallmark was going for.
That's the message of the movie. You've gotta be a big fat liar.
Oh, so then the next scene, Abby comes out in like her farming outfit, but it's an awful outfit. It's like a peasant shirt.
You're not a fan of the peasant shirt.
Not on her.
Oh, okay. Who would it be acceptable?
I don't know what it is.
It's like a hippie kind of 70s flowy, usually off-white on the bottom, and up top there's usually like flowers across the neck.
Oh, okay.
And then like I said, Abby threw shade at her and was like, we know that Abby is more into arts and crafts than ranching. And then Ryan like sticks up for her and says, oh, well, you know what? You know, she might surprise you. Don't count her out. But then she comes out with this thing that she thinks is a bagel, but it turns out it's like some kind of food for chickens.
You know, it was in this moment that I realized that I hated this movie. And I hated it because it's built on the premise that women are helpless and they need things mansplained to them even when they should know what they're doing. Like, she grew up on this farm and they're acting as if she's never even been to the farm.
Exactly.
That's true.
Exactly.
It's like, even if she didn't enjoy, like, even if I didn't enjoy washing dishes as a child, as an adult, I'm not going to unlearn the concept of how to wash a dish.
Right, exactly. It's like, you may not like it, but you know what it is. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And
they assume that we as the audience are idiots.
And it wasn't like it was some ultra-modern farm either. So it was probably the exact same as when she was a kid. Or actually, well, she wasn't even that much of a kid. She was like, she went to high school there and then left to go to college.
Yeah.
So it was even that long ago.
At most, it was 10 years.
Yeah. So then we find it like a heifer's in trouble, like a cow's in trouble, and she offers to go check on it, but the dad like mansplains to her and talks down to her and says, you know, why don't you go and clean the chicken coop instead? And why don't you have Ryan remind you how to do it? Like, cleaning a chicken coop is so scary difficult.
I don't even have words.
Right.
This movie was infuriating.
It really was. So then we find out that Ryan got his master's degree in ranch management. That's good. Hashtag goals. Yeah. That's great.
Did not know that was a thing.
I thought
it was a joke. I thought he was joking when he said that.
The first time I wasn't sure, but then when he said it a second time, I'm like, oh, that's really a thing. Okay. No idea.
Ranch? Why would he have to go to school for ranch management?
Like, that actually makes sense.
Gotten that job?
I would think that's more than just knowing how to wrangle a cow or whatever. It's because you're kind of managing a small city in a weird way.
Right, exactly. Really, seriously.
That sounds cool.
Okay, so this next series of scenes insulted me. I was so insulted and angry after the next few scenes that I just wanted to turn it off.
Wow. I was so insulted. What were these scenes?
You know what we should do from now on is if we're watching a movie, we should, the point in the movie where we want to stop, we should text it to each other, and if we all get to that point, then we can all stop. But if two get further, then the person that texted first still has to watch it. In other words, we have like a safe word, but it only works if we all call it together.
I'd be up for that.
Okay. Oh, and then we don't have to watch the rest of the movie.
Right. Like, if we're just like, oh, I just can't anymore. I can't. And you're like, me too.
Right. But all three has to do it.
Yeah, we all have to be in agreement.
Yeah.
And how about this? If two stop, but then the other person
We might just have to sit through the whole thing.
Or how about this? If two stop and the other person has finished the movie, then the other person has to tell about the movie on the podcast. Like, has to finish
it. No, I think we only get out of watching the movie if all three of us agree it's unwatchable.
Okay. Deal.
Okay.
Deal. I don't know. Sometimes these unwatchable ones make for a good show, though.
There is that.
Okay, so these next few scenes, I was livid.
Okay.
And I'm sure you guys can guess why. So he tells her, you know what? You don't have any outfits. You need to get some outfits for farming. So they go to a boutique, and it was primed up for a makeover montage.
Oh.
Not only does she go into a boutique, she goes into a boutique where her friend works. It turns out they were buddies from high school. Little boutique, tons of outfits. They set the whole makeover montage up.
And in fairness to you, they set up the whole premise of her being into fashion.
Right.
Yeah. You are right. You should be mad about this.
Exactly. So they set this whole thing up, but then the next scene, of course, there's no montage. She walks out with a bunch of bags, like she's some heavy-duty shopping. But then the next scene really pissed me off because then they show a food montage of her making food. And I'm like, you can't show a makeover montage, but you show a montage of her making eggs. Eggs.
Eggs, yeah.
An omelet.
She's elevating eggs, she said.
And I was so done. You don't show a makeover montage, but you show an omelet. And you show her a montage of her putting cheese and peppers in an omelet.
By the way, her omelet was burnt.
It was not a good looking
omelet. But she went to go put it on his plate, and she talked about a French omelet, and it's not folded, it's rolled into itself or something. And then she folds it, and then is taking it off the omelet pan, and it's brown, and a real omelet. If she's supposed to be a cook, there's not supposed to be any brown on there.
Right. So at this point,
she said she's elevating eggs.
Well,
she's elevating Les's blood pressure right now.
Seriously, I was so done with this movie at this point. I was like done. Like, I had to stop it and walk out of the room for a second.
Wow. Oh my God. This is early on too. I've got like five more pages here.
I was very upset.
Oh my God, please have John video you while you're doing that next time. I want to just see you pacing and seething over a Hallmark movie.
And then, okay, get this. And then they act like she like made like beef Wellington or something, because where'd all this cooking come from? Like, it was like some big deal where she like, made eggs.
How do you make these eggs of which you speak?
Right? Mm.
You're from New England. They don't cook things there the way we do.
Right, you know, they don't make omelets like we do here in Texas.
At least I think you're from New England. If you're not, that's going to be a real problem.
So then...
Wait, is that the Robbie Benson?
I don't even know what that is.
So, well, Robbie Benson shows up because they're talking about dating, and they don't... And, like, you know, he's like, Ryan's like, I don't have time for dating. And the dad pops in, and the dad, like, starts eating the omelet, and he's like, ooh! Like, it was some, like, you know... Like, what did he say? You put peppers in it or something dumb.
Ooh.
It's a fucking omelet.
Then he wants that chicken coop cleaned.
I have never seen Les this angry about a movie before, and it's hilarious.
Ugh. And then the dad throws shade at her. Because then she's like, how's the omelet? And then he's like, oh. Yeah, you need to clean the chicken coop. Yeah, Kurt's right. You need to clean the chicken coop. Or how is the, he asked, or how's the chicken coop, or something with the chicken coop.
And she hadn't done it yet, which didn't make any sense, because
no.
How no. long did you have the day before?
Right. So then we see her, they're in the chicken coop, and she's counting eggs, which, I mean, I don't know if you guys know anything about, like, ranching and farming and stuff, but don't they have machines for that?
They may. I thought it was funny because when she was cleaning the chicken coop, they just had her putting eggs, like taking the eggs and putting them in an egg container. But if you had a chicken laying eggs, wouldn't you like put them in a basket and then like put them in the container later? You would just be loading them into the container right there in the coop, would you?
Well, no, because then don't you have to
that
clean?
That saves time.
But aren't eggs actually like pretty dirty? Like if you get them fresh, aren't they pretty kind of dirty?
I would
like,
assume
you have to clean them?
So. Just came out of the chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they are. They just came out of a chicken's butt.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you got to clean them.
That's not how sex works.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, usually.
A chicken's butt.
I never pulled an egg out of anybody before.
Chicken's
butt. There's still time. I would assume a chicken, you pull an egg out of a chicken's butt.
I would watch that before watching this movie again.
Seriously, that would
well,
be more
no,
exciting.
I might have something in the works if there are any producers out there who want to, you know.
I know a girl named Nina.
I may have a script. you know what?
I know a producer named Nina, but you're going to need to tell everyone that you're from New England.
Right. Oh, okay. So then,
I missed that last part. That's okay.
I'm making fun of this movie.
Ryan, like, is checking her out online, and then he's like, why didn't you say you're from Texas? And he busts her for saying that she was born in New England. But, you know, then we find out that she has daddy issues.
Yeah.
Because nothing was ever good enough for her dad. But you know what?
I wanted...
It would have been better if he was dead.
Oh my gosh.
What happened?
It would have been better if the dad was dead.
I see dead people.
Oh,
but he
man.
Wasn't dead. He was not.
No. But you know, Robbie Benson had 4 open heart surgeries in 1984.
What?
And wow. In 1984?
Yes. He had some kind of heart murmur or something like that. So he had to have these open heart surgeries at a young age.
Oh, geez. Wasn't he, like, he probably wasn't even 30 yet at the time.
Oh, 24. He was, yeah, definitely in his 20s at the latest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And
wow.
That is the Robbie Benson news.
And I mean,
the Robbie Benson news report.
I do not have a jingle for that.
He is cute. But still. Oh. Okay. So then, So then the dad, like, this I kind of stuck up for her, and then it made me mad because she proved me wrong. Because they needed to go into town, and the dad was, like, totally, like, being a dick and mansplaining to her about the car. Like, oh, I don't know if you can drive it. It's a stick shift. And so then I was kind of like, oh, God, what a dick. The dad's being a dick. Of course you could drive. And then it turns out she couldn't drive.
This is
flooded it.
This is this entire movie. If she had driven a stick as a teenager living on that farm, she doesn't then in 2019 not know how to have that skill that she already has.
Because let me tell you this. All right, so back in the 80s, when I was a teenager living in Spain, I learned how to drive on a Saab, which is like the Swedish. My parents had the Swedish car, a Saab, and it was a stick shift. So I learned how to drive on a stick shift, right? But then I moved to America, and all of my cars have been automatic. So last Christmas, over 30 years later, my husband and I go to England for the holidays. We rent a car, and I have to drive a stick shift. And I still knew how to drive the damn stick shift 30 years later.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, what's her deal? Wow. 30, and not only a stick shift, I had to drive on the other side of the road. So, this woman and this movie is annoying.
Well, that's the thing, is it's not the woman that's annoying, it's the character that has been written that makes this woman annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how to drive a stick shift, so I can't judge her. Then again,
we're not judging her for her stick shift or then sudden loss of stick shift abilities. We're judging for the terribleness of this movie.
So the driving, and she does get one thing right, because she's like, wow, it's so quiet and boring around here. Okay, I give her that. She's right. And then Ryan, they're talking about how they were going away to college, and Ryan basically shades her for going to Yale.
A person that is so smart from this little town in Texas was smart enough to get into Yale, but doesn't remember how to drive a stick shift.
Right. And P.S. So she went to college in Yale. She's probably about 28, which means she lived in New England for 10 years. She could make shit up for this Mr. Carrington guy.
Again, right. Why the F does he care?
Right, exactly.
Wow.
Oh, you're perfect for my brand, although...
About his wife in the other movie? Is that right?
What's that?
He's the same guy in the other movie who shot his wife, right?
Bro, well, he left her burning in the fire in the house.
Yeah, creepy.
So that's why.
And she got sick.
So he has concerns.
She got sick and he wouldn't give her medicine or take her to the doctor.
Right. So this guy's always up to something weird.
Okay, so once again, Ryan talks about how he got a degree in ranch management, again, for the second time, which I thought that was going to lead somewhere, but it didn't.
Oh, and there were ways that it could have very easily.
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally. So then they go to Ryan's family home that he's selling. But his parents aren't dead. His parents just moved away
to Scottsdale, Arizona.
Yeah. So.
They also mentioned that the property next door is vacant.
Which we know where this is going.
But we didn't. We thought we did, and then we didn't.
Where?
Then we didn't.
I don't know where it's going. I saw the movie. I don't know where it's going.
When they are talking, when they're the main guy in the movie is talking about how he's always wanted to own his own ranch. And then he has to sell his parents' house so he can buy this ranch. And by the way, there's also a vacant ranch right next door, even though I can't really afford it. You think that he's going to be able to buy that ranch by the end of the movie.
Right.
That did not happen in this movie.
Right.
No.
Like, didn't these writers ever watch Hallmark movies before?
Or any movies?
It's pretty bad.
Most of the time, stakes are low. This movie just doesn't have any stakes.
Right. Like, no stakes whatsoever. And then when it did have stakes, I was like, so what?
You mean the stakes of the necessity of having been born in New England? Those stakes aren't high enough for it?
No. That doesn't qualify as a stake. That's a problem for us, the viewers.
Oh, I had a problem with it.
So then they go in his house. They go in the house. She starts giving renovating tips. She tells him that he should stage the house, which is good advice because he wanted to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
So then he tells her, I can't afford it. And she's like, oh, well, borrow the furniture. And they go to this hardware store, and they're looking at furniture in the hardware store. and then they're looking at paint swatches, and they pick out the color of gin wasabi for the paint. So, and then they bought a lot of stuff. They drive back to the ranch. As they drive up to the ranch, the truck is full of stuff, and the dad, Robbie Benson, gives them judgy eyes.
Yeah.
Very beautiful blue judgy eyes, but judgy not judgy eyes nonetheless.
That is the one saving. That was the one saving grace of watching this movie, is because I kept on thinking, "Ooh, Robbie Benson." Yeah,
I was all about Ryan. Ryan was really hot.
Mm-hmm. He was cute. That was about it. But yeah. He was cute. Yeah. Okay, so then we find out that some longhorns got loose, and the dad mansplains to her again, and then he wants her to go and rope a calf because it needed to be fed. So then Ryan teaches her how to do the rope, but he uses it as a way to kind of sidle up to her and kind of make a move, like cop a hand feel or something. And then she goes out to the field. The calf is actually cute. The first thing I've liked in this movie is, like, the calf is cute.
Yes, adorable.
Yeah.
And then she gets ready to rope it, but then realizes, oh, I could just pick it up and carry it instead.
Now, my horrible instincts were that, oh my gosh, this animal is going to be just wild and, like, trample her.
Right. Because she was in the middle.
I mean, I want her to live.
Mind you, okay, we are now at page 4 of my notes, and nothing has happened yet.
No, nothing.
No, there's page. One thing you forgot to put in your notes. Our time was vastly wasted.
Oh, please.
Just put that in a note right
Do you write there. In, like, large letters? Because I'm only on page 2.
Kind of large.
Okay. I write in a 7-point sans serif font, single spaced.
Yeah.
So then he invites her over for dinner. He invites her over. Actually, he invites her to come over and help him stage the house. But then he's like, "I'll make you dinner." And then she goes over. He's making her barbecue. They're eating. He's giving her sexy eyes.
Oh.
And then we find out that he makes barbecue sauce, and the barbecue sauce is really good. Mm-hmm. And then she's whining again about how she could never make her dad proud. And Ryan is like, "Well, you know what? I could help you change that." Which I think was nice.
Yeah, except she doesn't really have any – her and her dad don't seem to have any issues as far as I could see.
Oh, because think about it. Okay, so – She grew up, she went to Yale, she has a career. Oh, she's such a bad person.
What was that?
I went, you know, she grew up, she went to Yale, one of the best universities in the U.S. Wait, didn't she talk about at some point photoshopping herself into pictures of New England?
I think Gina asked her to do that.
Too soon.
Too late.
So then Ryan says that he's going to help her change her dad's mind about her. So the next day, she's listening to country music, and we find out she woke up really early. And then when Ryan goes to pick her up, she's like, "Hey, Ryan, I made some French coffee. Big deal." And then Ryan's like, "Is everything French?" And then I got angry again at this movie. You know why I got angry? Because they had a chores montage. A montage
oh, they
of
did, yeah.
chores.
I called it a small town work montage.
I called it a farming montage.
Chores. I
think chores.
I can't believe they're making a montage out of doing chores.
Yep. And throughout the montage, they keep stopping and looking at each other.
Right.
Stop.
So.
Very romantic.
So Robbie Benson's shoulder is kind of bugging him. And they made it a point to show Robbie Benson's shoulder bugging him. Which was another plot point that led to nowhere.
I wonder what attracted Robbie Benson to this project.
It is called a paycheck.
Yeah.
But he hasn't acted in like 8 years all of a sudden.
That's why he needs a paycheck.
I guess.
Exactly.
Paycheck. All right. I guess.
So then...
You know, you put some solar panels on the house, and sure, they'll pay off over time, but you need some money now.
Right.
You know, a paycheck.
Poor Robbie. But he was directing.
But, you know, your pipes in your house bust.
All right.
You need to fix the pipes in your house.
That's probably what happened. That's probably what happened. This was the one.
You pay $500,000 to get your kids into college, and then you're embroiled in a scandal and have to pay even more money to defend yourself in court. You need a paycheck,
right? Yeah, I'm sure we'll be. I'm sure we'll see Felicity Huffman in some Hallmark movies.
What does Lori Loughlin do after this?
Well, this is porn. I predict she's either going to have a reality show or she's going to go on Dancing with the Stars to try to rehab her image.
I could see her doing both of those things. Felicity Huffman, I think, is different, though. What would you like?
Yes. You know what? Felicity Huffman will do theater for a while. Okay.
Yeah, I see that.
She'll do Broadway or she'll do theater for a little while and lay low.
Laying low.
Because I think, didn't she? She did go to Yale, right? Felicity. She went to an Ivy League school, I believe.
Oh, yeah? I don't know.
But I remember she was on the RuPaul podcast, and she was talking about her background. It sounds like she came from money.
Oh, I didn't know that. But that makes sense.
Because, like, she went to boarding school. Like, she was giving her whole background. Right. She didn't come out and say that she came from money. But the way that she was talking about her childhood and the stuff she did, and, you know, it sounds like she did come from money.
Okay.
Okay. So, Robbie tells Ryan the Trobs need to be checked. And Abby says, well, I could check the Trobs. And he's like, well, okay, but you're going to have to ride a horse. And it's another one of these stupid scenes where she was like, wasn't sure if she could ride a horse or not after years of not riding one. Which isn't that another thing that you never forget?
She makes a joke about it. I could see that
also forgets.
Being a little bit rusty.
Okay. Yeah. Because that's something that she could actually, if she was claiming to be from New England, she could tell this guy that I went riding. Because isn't riding a big thing in Connecticut?
Oh yeah, dressage.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway. So then she's leaving, and Robbie says she's a pretty special kid. And Ryan tells Robbie, did you tell her that?
Yeah.
It was good.
It was good, but...
Yeah, but once again, I don't think she makes a big deal about this, some kind of rift she has in this relationship, and there isn't one. He seems perfectly fine.
Yeah, you know what that's called? Normal. Like, nobody is super comfortable talking to their parents.
Right.
There's some things that you hide from each other. There's things that you don't want to know about each other.
So then she's out. She goes to the Trophy. She gets a call from Gina, her manager. And Gina has her assistant, and they're taking pictures of seashell wind chimes. And she's like, you know, listen, Abby, I need some product, I need some material, and I need it in the next day or two. So then Abby goes out to the trough. It's not working. And she asks herself, what would Dad do? What would I do? And she's listening to her earbuds. She's listening to her music. And she takes her earbuds and wraps it around the trough and fixes it.
Yeah, what I didn't understand about that was all you had to do to make the water in the trough work was to hold it. Was it? Wouldn't you want to control how much water is filling the trough anyway before you walk away?
I guess. So
yeah, it seemed like a temporary solution.
Well, no, it seemed like it not actually a problem.
No, oh, exactly.
Even better.
Like, I don't need a way to, like, you know how some sinks you have to, like, keep pressing the button so more water comes out? Like, that's all that you would be doing is press it again for more water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so then she goes back and she sees Robbie and she's like, Dad, I fixed the trough. And she shows him the picture and he almost gives her a compliment. Almost.
I don't think anybody in this movie deserves a compliment.
No.
No.
We deserve compliments for getting through it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or condolences.
Oh, a Hallmark card.
Consolation of some sort.
So then they're at a diner. And they're talking about how she was always too fancy for that town. Because, like, he's like, you know, they're in ninth grade, and she ordered gelato instead of ice cream, which I don't see that being a problem.
I didn't know what gelato was when I was in high school. But did it exist?
Oh, I did. I liked gelato better than ice cream.
You grew up in Europe, though.
Oh.
I had never even heard of it.
I hadn't heard of it back then either. I think more people know what it is now than did then, but I don't think it was any bigger or smaller then.
Right. So then she's telling Ryan the problem about her show and how she, you know, how she lied to the guy. And he actually, I do give him credit because he wasn't judgy with her. Like, he was actually like, you know, and he made sense because he's like, come on, well, your mom's from New England. So then,
what's funny about him being supportive to her in that moment is it actually undermines the premise of the movie even more.
Yeah.
You've got one of your main characters saying one of the main hurdles in this movie isn't really that important.
Yeah.
Well, he's right.
Oh, he's so then we find out there's going to be an event, a barbecue. Ooh. And
but not like in other Hallmark movies where there's an event that the entire movie revolves around and we're sort of leading up to that point. This is just like, oh yeah, we need an excuse to have people together.
Right. So then he invites her to go. She goes to the barbecue with him and he shades her because she wore a sundress. And he acts like she wore like a ball gown. It was like a sundress. Just like a cute little normal sundress that most girls would wear if it's really hot in Texas.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I didn't get what the big deal was. It's a potluck. So he brings his barbecue. And then when her friend asks her what she brought, she's like, oh, I brought a kale salad. And then her friend throws in, oh, with chia seed croutons. And at first I thought the friend was being shady, but actually it turned out that the friend actually was a fan of hers and watched her web series.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I thought she was making fun of her because it was a stupid joke in the movie. And then, oh, no, she's being real. Oh, I actually like your show.
Right. So then,
right.
The friend is like, you know, so what's going on with Ryan? You guys picking up where you left off? And and so then they're chatting, she and Ryan are chatting later, and it turns out that Ryan's barbecue is really good. And so she's like, hey, well, why didn't you sell it? Which is smart. So
I thought he
then.
was going to be resistant to the idea because it's a family recipe.
But he was like, fine.
No.
Yeah, he was not that. Again, no stakes in the
No
movie.
conflict.
Nope.
No
Yeah.
conflict.
He was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it.
Sell
No
my
big deal.
sauce.
The only conflict in Hallmark movies, I just realized this, the only conflict is our main protagonists aren't together yet. That's
Yes.
the only
No.
conflict, is that the two people are not yet together that are going to be.
But, and this is another thing, this is another way where this movie dropped the ball. Because we've interviewed enough writers for this podcast that we kind of know the formula, which one of the major sticking points that not only who your friend Nina shared with us, and then James Madsen and Barbara Bronner shared it with us, and someone else shared it with us, the fact that the reason why they don't kiss in a movie initially is because if the girl has a boyfriend, they can't kiss until she breaks up with the boyfriend. But they were two single people, so I didn't get what the big deal was with them like not being able to kiss because they were both single.
They always do that.
Well, it even got to a point where they were basically dating again, so it would have made sense if they kissed.
Like they were totally dating. Oh, so then they're like getting the barbecue stuff together, and they decide to call the barbecue. Did they decide to call the barbecue Yellow Rose?
Yes.
And but then he's all for it. He's all for it. He's fine with it. He has
Oh,
no
of
problem
course.
with it.
No.
And
They
so.
could have raised the stakes on that. He could have said something like, the barbecue sauce is made from my own blood or something like that.
Or the
something.
family recipe, and I miss my parents because they're not dead, but they're in Scottsdale.
Or even if he would say something like, you know what? Yes, it's my barbecue sauce, but it's a secret recipe. And I'm not, you know, I've been sworn to secrecy and I can't reveal it to anybody. Like something like that, even. But
Yeah,
nope.
but none of those
no,
things happened.
So
no.
then they're out, they have to fix this fence. And so they're fixing this creaky fence. And so she figures out a way to fix it. She breaks out her caprese salad. And the reason why she brought up her caprese salad is because she had olive oil.
Yeah.
And so they put the olive oil in, they put the olive oil in the fence, and the fence stops making noise. But I'm bum.
Very strange.
So, oh, and I wrote, she's like a food MacGyver or something.
So they were tasked with fixing something squeaky, and they didn't go there with regular oil?
Right,
No.
just asking. Okay.
Exactly.
She walks around with olive oil.
That
And she's
makes
whining about whether or not, whining about, yeah.
when you're going to go fix something, that makes much more sense to bring a caprese salad and olive oil than it does to bring oil, just regular oil.
Well.
Right.
You can hear my anger.
And then, so then they're talking about, you know, and she's asking him, it's so quiet here. don't you get bored here? And he says, well, I'll take you to a place that's not so boring. Nice. And so he takes us to a vineyard.
Nice.
And I perk up a little bit because they go to the vineyard and they meet a sassy black girl, Carmen. And it turns out that Carmen is a friend of theirs from high school, and Carmen owns the vineyard. And so Carmen is familiar with Abby's web series, and, you know, basically she pretty much encourages them to do the barbecue sauce, and it was just like a nice little chat, and the wine, I guess, was good. But then, you know, she has to run because her buyers from Austin are in town. So then we go back to the farm, and we see Nathan, and Nathan is telling Robbie Benson, come here, you've got to look at this. And it's Abby driving the tractor. Woo!
Oh.
Exactly.
So, oh man.
So then right.
Well, you, we also missed a detail which I thought was so weird, is that Abby in encouraging Ryan to sell a sauce, it says that maybe they can bottle it at the winery.
Oh, that's right.
Like bottling wine and bottling like sealed goods are two totally different things.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So then...
No fact-checking here.
None.
No logic here.
So then she's in her bedroom, and she's looking around her bedroom, and then Robbie Benson walks in, and Robbie says, good work today. So she actually got a compliment from her dad, finally. So then we see them, and they're making barbecue sauce, and they're going to sell it at the fair, and Robbie and Abby are watching Ryan make the barbecue sauce. And then when he has Robbie Benson taste some, Robbie says, it tastes like a mouthful of Texas.
What would that be? Sounds
like dirt.
They're alluring.
Or something.
Oh, just like a mouthful of dirt.
You know where they have regular oil? In Texas.
Right.
All over the place. Still on that, sorry.
But no, when she said a mouthful of Texas, my first image went to like the desert, like near El Paso, and like dirt or something, or cow dung.
I'm a 12-year-old and interpreted that as an innuendo.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
Just saying. That's where my mind went.
I get it.
Oh, so then her manager calls. And her manager is like, Mr. Carrington is here, and he actually wants to talk to you. He wants to have a video call with you. And so she steps in front of the American flag in the barn, and she turns the phone on, and they're FaceTiming.
Clearly that's Greenwich.
You know, and Mr. Carrington is so obsessed. He's like, you know, what are you doing? You're having cocktails by the water? Like, just obsessed. And so he tells her that he liked the other stuff that she turned in, but he needs more Connecticut. And then while she's doing her FaceTime, her dad walks into the barn and yells, you guys let the chickens out. And so then she gets scared because she's thinking, oh my God, how are we going to cover for this wacky thing that happened? And it's like, oh, and then she says, oh, they're Rhode Island Reds or something like that.
And then Urkel tripped over a pile of boxes.
Brr. Wow. So then, they're at the fair. They go to the fair.
You sound exhausted talking about this movie, Les.
I am exhausted.
So about this movie. I am. This Robbie Benson is going to be the end of me.
So they go to the fair, and the barbecue sauce is selling like hotcakes. People love it. And then we see the sassy black girl Carmen there, and she has like a wine tasting booth. And then her friend runs up to her, and I guess she gave her friend decorating ideas for the dance floor, because she used all of the ideas that she gave her, that the friend used all her ideas.
Yeah, that was weird.
What were the special ideas? Did you notice any touches?
No.
Nope.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Were the ideas have music and, and lighting?
Nope. Right, right.
Yeah. And seriously. Used all my ideas.
Right.
What ideas were they? Yeah, they all sucked.
So then they're back at the house. And... and then a real estate agent, Ralph, shows up. And Ralph is like, I've got someone interested in your place. And they want to buy cash. And then Abby turns to Ryan, and she's like, I thought you took the house off of the market. Which, I didn't, they never mentioned him taking the house off of the market before.
Nope.
So it's like, wow, this is news to the audience that he was supposed to take the house off the market.
I thought that raised the stakes for a moment. It did not.
It did not.
It did not. Yeah. It did not.
So then her manager calls, and her manager is like, Mr. Harrington likes the barbecue sauce, but he's not happy because there's no New England in it.
At this point, it's just a weird fetish, right?
Yeah.
This thing with New England. Like, do you think he's just sitting at home, touching himself, looking at pictures of lighthouses?
Like, oh, yeah. Cape Cod. Oh,
maybe.
Portland, Maine. Yeah.
Hey, baby, say Nantucket.
I hadn't considered that, but that's...
Mm. Oh, Vermont.
Oh, Vermont, yeah. Sanders.
Poor clam chowder on me.
Maple syrup on my secret parts.
New Hampshire.
Oh, we're only 6 months away from the changing of the leaves.
Who's left? Oh, foliage. Foliage.
Good. Right.
I thought I was out for the night, but that woke me up.
Okay. So then, the next day,
I'll tell you,
Robbie Benson is healed.
Robbie Benson needs to get his act together. If you want to act, do something worthwhile. This is a waste of everyone's time.
I will defend him slightly in his immediate healing. In both the big scene in Beauty and the Beast and the big scene in this, he's transformed. It is more human again.
Right. So, yeah.
That's a stretch, I realize.
He's healed.
All right.
And he's like, okay, you can go now.
Well, not stand up in court.
He's like, you can go now. We're done. And then he's like, well, you can stay if you... Then he's like, oh, you can stay if you want, but I got nothing to do.
Yeah, you're done. Yeah.
The only thing that would have made that moment funnier and more ridiculous is if he had used his now newly good hand to wave goodbye to her.
Right.
That would have been good.
Like he wanted her out.
Bye!
He seriously was kind of like, don't let the door hit ya.
No, he does not want people around, apparently.
And he will not hear that door because it was fixed with olive oil.
Right.
Well, of course.
But then Abby gets a phone call. It's her manager. And her manager is not happy because Mr. Harrington found out that Abby is from Texas. Oh, my God! And... her manager is like, okay, you need to get home, and you need to get home now because, you know, we're in trouble. And then we find that, oh, so then Abby's getting ready to leave. And of course, she's like, Dad, you were never proud of me. And Robbie Benton's like, that's not true. And he takes her in this room, which is basically a shrine to her. And he has, like, all of her stuff.
That was creepy, right?
It was very creepy.
Like, she didn't know that was there, that room?
Right, exactly.
Like, not even that, like, Dad has pictures of her there now because he misses her. But, like, the room in general, she didn't know it was there.
Yeah.
Although she did forget how to drive stick.
True.
So
it turns out...
I like that we all have our own triggers about this movie.
Unbearable.
So then it turns out her dad was proud of her. And then he tells her...
Good for him.
He tells her, I asked your mom to move here, but she said no. And
well, maybe they should have discussed this before they went and got married.
I agree.
So does this mean that he then he lived in New England for a little while? That didn't make sense.
Felt like they had to get married.
I guess.
And that's why they didn't have any of these discussions.
So then the dad says that I could never talk about my feelings. Welcome to the club. If that's called a dad.
Dad.
Yeah. And then he tells her she's perfect. And then she gets ready to leave, but then she goes to say goodbye to Ryan. And she's like, well, I gotta go, which I'd be pissed too if I was Ryan. And she's like, okay, gotta go. But then Ryan says, I made a down payment on the land next door. And then he gets all pissed at her. And they have a little fight. And he's like, I never stopped loving you. But she was leaving anyway. She's kind of like, too bad, so sad. And then she's getting ready to leave, but then her manager and Mr. Carrington show up on the ranch in Texas.
We knew that was going to happen.
Mr. Carrington likes Taste of Texas. He likes the barbecue sauce. And he likes the fact that it's authentic. So he now wants to shoot the pilot of her, and it's now... His obsession has changed from New England to Texas.
Oh, yeah, the Alamo. Mm.
Oh, San Antonio.
Hook 'em horny.
I'm trying to think what else.
Fort Worth.
I'm going to go rub myself up against the wall. I don't know why he has a... trust for her. She's a big liar. She's been lying the whole time.
He shouldn't trust Mia.
She's a huge liar.
Yeah.
So then...
But this guy murders his wife.
Doesn't get her medicine.
Yeah. Let her die.
So then she comes up with an idea. Ribs and lobster. So it's kind of a mixture of New England and Texas, and she's calling it Texas Surf and Turf.
Wait, this happened in the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. I didn't write that down.
Also, isn't Surf and Turf already a mixing of something Texas is known for and something New England is known for?
Like,
the turf is cattle.
Probably.
Of which we've seen many in this movie, so we know that they have some.
Right. And then she goes to Ryan, and she says, Ryan, I have a great idea. Why don't you turn your ranch into a guest ranch. And he says, that's a great idea. And they kiss. The end.
The end.
The end.
I can't.
The end. The end.
And that was
it. Not much effort there with this, with Hallmark on this one. This is their most recent movie, too.
It felt to me, and I mean this legitimately, it felt to me like they're dipping their toes into starting to sell some home goods, and they needed a way to show them off. Because they mentioned the phrase home goods 5 or 6 times. That's not a common phrase people use when referring to, I need a couch.
Uh-huh.
And probably everything in this movie was like to show off people's homes and the different things you can do to it. And you can totally blend styles.
Right. Okay, you guys.
Shitty movie with a boring movie.
I'm going to make this up to you now. I'm going to make this up to you.
We're going
to
see Avengers.
All right.
I have a movie. I have a Lifetime movie.
Okay.
And all it's right. Everything that we want out of a Lifetime movie. The movie premieres this weekend.
Aw, I have to watch it. How am I going to see this? Okay.
And it's called Psycho Granny. After Samantha loses her mother, her grief-stricken spirits are lifted with the sudden appearance of Colleen. Colleen is Samantha's long-lost grandmother, who swoops in to ease her pain and guide her through the ups and downs of her pregnancy. Despite the warnings from her husband, Brad, Samantha dives headfirst into her newfound relationship. All is well until Colleen's dark past reveals itself, and Samantha is forced to fight for her life and her family. Psycho Granny.
So this is a true story.
Did you say this is called Psycho Granny?
Yes. And there's a picture of a psycho-looking granny. She looks pretty psycho. See?
Already set to record.
She looks psycho. She's wearing pearls.
Psycho granny it is.
Oh, my God. Okay, you guys, get this. So the other day, on Saturday, I went to this party, and it was a party with all of these, like, horror writers.
Okay.
And it was like, hardcore horror writers. So I was talking to people, right? And you know, of course, it was, you know, they were talking about, you know, like a lot of people that had podcasts. And so, of course, you know, they ask me, you know, you have a podcast. What's yours about? And when I told them Hallmark and the Lifetime Channel, I was prepared to be totally like judged and shaded. And every single person, especially the women, I either got like a, oh my God, that's so fun. What is it? We're going to watch it. We're going to listen to it. Or, oh my God, my wife would like that. And I was pleasantly surprised with the responses I got from people.
Good.
So, and I left with like, we had a group of new fans. So let's hope it pays off.
Well, welcome new fans.
Welcome.
And welcome hello, back. Not so new, but I'm not going to call you old fans.
Right.
Hello, fans.
Yes, hello, fans. One and all.
Anyway, guys, I am so sorry.
I don't know, man.
Do we decide? Like I'm sorry, go ahead.
Just end this movie. I am wiped out. This Robbie Benson is the end of me.
Did we decide on our safe word or like how far in we can get? Or is it just each other?
I don't know, man.
The safe word.
Although I realize that probably won't work unless we're all watching it at the same time.
Yeah.
Because if I get like an hour in and then a day later you tell me you got 15 minutes in, I've watched 45 minutes more than I needed to already.
True. Well, that's why
safe word The safe word could be Black China.
Yes, that's our safe word.
Then what are we going to say when we need to say the words Black China?
When we say the words Black China, the three of us are actually all together talking.
Okay.
So that, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, so when we're separate, Black China is the code for I can't watch this anymore. But then when we're together, talking about Black China.
Yeah, because it's not like an Alexa thing where if we say the name, it's going to like order 10 boxes of tampons or something.
Right.
I didn't do that to anyone just now. Unless you need tampons.
And to be honest, I think Black China should be on a Hallmark movie or at least a Lifetime movie.
And I think I should order 10 boxes of tampons.
There you go.
You should. You never know who's coming over.
Anyway, gentlemen, I'm sure Kurt's got to go to bed.
Anywho.
For you listeners, Jason and I are in California, but Kurt is in New Jersey. So there is a time difference.
No bet.
But before you go to bed, Kurt,
yes.
Let's tell our listeners how they can find us. Now, of course, listeners, you can find us on our Instagram, which is Lifetime of Hallmark Podcast, or our Facebook page, which is A Lifetime of Hallmark, or you can find me on Facebook at Les Kirkendall Barrett, or on Instagram at Kirkendall. And Kirkendall is spelled K-U-R-K-E-N-D-A-A-L. Jason?
You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Big Shot Jason. Big Shot Jason.
Kurt?
Well, you could become a fan of Kurt Fitzpatrick. People were too shy to make the effort to like me. And you can see my TV pilot, Campus Martius. CampusMartiusTV.com.
And if any of you listeners are in Ohio or live anywhere near Cincinnati, I'm going to be performing my show, Walking While Black in Moscow, at the Cincinnati Fringe, May 31st through June 16th. And if you want to find out more information on that, you can go to CincyFringe.com. Anything else?
I think that's it.
No.
Getting ready for Psycho Granny.
Keep listening.
Yes, Psycho Granny. I'm actually looking forward to watching Psycho Granny because I'm hoping that it's going to live up to its title and be just a ridiculous shit show in the best way.
I feel like you might be right.
In the best way. I want to see knives. Yep. I want to see blood. I want to see screaming. I want to see gasping, overacting. I want to see it all.
I believe.
Well, I know my parents would be very happy if I gave them psycho grandchildren.
Oh, like the twins on The Shining.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Anyway, well, okay, guys, I will see you and talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Yes, the twins.
Yeah. The cover of Mad Magazine.